It's time to talk Oregon hoops, prepping for Baylor tomorrow in their first ever Final Four. Our guest has been the voice of the program since 2005. Now he's on the scene to call the biggest game in history. On Twitter, try at Terry Johns. On the scene in Tampa, thanks for the time, TJ. How are things in West Florida?
They're pretty good. This is a pretty doggone nice place down here, I'll tell you what. And it's growing like crazy. I was talking to one of the locals and said, yeah, they have 100,000 people moving in every month. Or no, 100 people every month. I can't, something like that.
I was going to say.
But it's just growing. I said, retirees? And they said, no, people are relocating.
Really? Well, weather-wise, you're kind of a lock there, so I guess that has something to do with it. So I want Terry, one general question. Hit rewind. It's March 24th, 2014. The Ducks lost to Washington in the WNIT. The attendance at that game in Eugene was 733. The Paul Westhead era was coming to a close. If somebody came up to you after that game and said, Terry, relax. 5 years from now, you'll have called two Elite Eight seasons and then the Final Four. How off the wall would you have thought that person was?
Yeah, that would have been a tough sell to me. That's no question about that. But when I thought found out that Kelly Graves was the one coming in, I thought, well, let's see, things will happen. Look at what he did at Gonzaga with doing less or doing more with less, and you thought, well, you come here to Oregon, let's see what he can do. And man, did he show us what he can do, and the staff he put together, and then the recruits. Then it's just happened very, very quickly, I think, faster than probably a lot of people thought.
You know, last weekend in Portland, because if you look at previous West regionals, even last year in Spokane with Oregon, there were 5,000 people. The season before in Stockton, there were 3,000. You know, last Friday and Sunday, more than 11,000 people. You know, that atmosphere, the volume, I mean, how special has this support and passion for this team struck you, who know all too well when it wasn't?
Yeah, you know, I remember going back to the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, the Jody Runge years, early Bev, that pretty good crowds, but they were averaging still under 6,000. This team had gone during the conference season and averaged 7,700 at home games. I mean, that's just remarkable. And then just in the postseason, it's just kind of gone from there. But that atmosphere at the Moda Center last week was, both games, was just unparalleled. I'm not sure I've ever been involved and called a game like that, where Duck fans were just in force and so loud, and for what was on the line against a great Mississippi State game. It was just a remarkable atmosphere, and you always kind of knew that this was kind of a sleeping giant. You know, if somebody could come in and get this thing winning, that the fans would come in. In fact, Coach Mark Campbell, associate head coach, he just says, you know, Duck fans reward excellence. They will show up. If you're excellent, they're going to come in force, and they will root you on. And I think that's been proven with the women's basketball program.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, I know you've called a lot of intense games, a lot on the line. I want to get to that Mississippi State game. I mean, that's a program who had played for the national title the previous 2 years. And considering all that was on the line, beyond the atmosphere, I'm talking about the shooting, the assists, the limited turnovers. Is that about as well played a game as you could recall with so much on the line?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely think it was. I mean, I think they shot better than they normally do, especially in the mid-range. The Ducks were willing to give that up to kind of surround Tierra McCowan and those kids, Holmes and trying to think the other one, Danbury. They were knocking down the mid-range that they don't always knock them down. But Oregon was willing to give that up and figured, okay, we're going to make more threes than the twos that you make to catch us, and that ended up being right. But, you're right. I mean, both teams took care of the ball. It wasn't like each team wasn't playing defense. They were both getting after each other, and it ends up 88-84. That was just some tremendously high-level women's basketball, and it was fun to call, fun to be a part of it, fun to watch.
Talking with Terry Johns live from Tampa, we had a chance to talk with Satu Sabulla yesterday. She mentioned the whirlwind. I mean, this team has gone on some tough road trips this year. You think about Brookings, Michigan State in conference, and now this is a long journey from the Northwest to the Southeast. So once they acclimated, I mean, they've practiced the past couple days. TJ, what's been the word? Any fatigue? Everybody feeling good?
Yeah, I think everybody feels great. The practice today, I was really impressed. I always kind of watch and see how do they shoot in their drills. Do they feel good about the rims? And I'm telling you, there were three balls going in left and right. And I was like going, okay, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. But, you know, this team, Kelly, with the schedule that he put together, going to Michigan State, the South Dakota State, as you mentioned, and they kind of found out some things that they needed to work on, particularly on the defensive end. They came through against Mississippi State and Eugene at Matthew Knight Arena on December 18th, and then you went, okay, they can play defense like that and defense well enough to go with that offense that they can win a national title. It's going to be hard. It's, you know, and it has been, but that you saw then that they can. But, you know, this team is, as Kelly has said, they've been rock stars. They really are. Everywhere we go, even on the road or at home, they're so accommodating to fans. They'll sign autographs. I mean, from Sabrina Ionescu, I've told her sometimes, I said, I know you don't always feel like it. I've seen where we're waiting for a plane in L.A., and there were fans that, oh, I could see them over there. That's Sabrina Ionescu over there. And they would come over, and she would stand up, and there was no fake smile. She would take a picture with them. She would sign an autograph. So I know it sounds kind of weird because this is a bigger stage down here, but I don't think this phases them at all. I think they've kind of been going through at least some of this all year long. They're used to it.
No, I think they were built for it. I want to hit on Ruthie Hebert, who obviously, you know, she gave everybody a scare with the injury against OSU. But Sunday in particular, Terry, having to deal with, you mentioned Tierra McGowan at 6'7". Anriel Howard is a terrific rebounder. But Hebert just battled and worked. She blocked shots. She scored inside. Safe to say she's had better games on the stat sheet, but I don't know if her impact was ever more important than Sunday.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the first meeting against Mississippi State, that was before Ruthie had hurt her knee, and it was the same thing. In fact, I remember having associate head coach Mark Campbell on the postgame show, and he kind of pulled his headset off for just a moment, and because Ruthie had come out from the locker room, and he said, Ruthie, that's the best game you've ever played. And you look at that game, her numbers didn't wow you. But what she did defensively and rebounding-wise, blocking some shots as well against some of the best athletes you're going to see and best teams. She's risen to the occasion, and it's been great to see Ruthie score. And the amazing thing, Steve, is still just scratching the surface with her talent. That she's came in such a raw talent, and she's grown tremendously, but she still has a ways to go. But to see Ruthie battle somebody that's 3 inches taller than her and certainly much, much stronger and be able to pull it off, it's pretty remarkable. Now, she has help, and she's going to need help up here against Kalani Brown as well and Lauren Cox. They're two big ones as well inside. But Ruthie's up to the task, and this team, they got a good game plan. These coaches know what they're doing, obviously. We've certainly learned that. If somebody thinks that's not true, you're nuts. But they know how to put together a game plan, and this team, you know, at any level, I've seen teams maybe that weren't quite as good that follow the game plan, follow the scout, and they achieve more. And then when you have great players like Oregon has, and they also follow the scout and go out and execute it, it's, then the sky's the limit. You can win a national championship, and they got a shot at it. So it's going to be interesting. But you're right, Ruthie's just been tremendous this year and going through the injury. And she's, you know, and I know Coach As you'll remember, being back in New Jersey, New York, he always equates her to Willis Reed. She's kind of on one leg right now, but it's not going to be until after the season and she gets a good month off that bone bruise in her knee is going to go away. But you know, she just keeps battling through it and playing hard and doing what Ruthie does anyway.
Yeah, she will have earned her time off. Couple final thoughts with Duck play-by-play man Terry Johns. Certainly, Sunday, the step-back three by Sabrina was spectacular. But that possession up four when they took it side out with about 56 seconds to go that ended with the Cazorla three-pointer. I mean, we know how great Sabrina was. Satu was just amazing. But, Terry, how fitting was it that the senior, who has really meant everything to this program, hit the true dagger that really put this team in the Final Four?
Absolutely right, Steve. Totally agree with you on that. You know, what, 35 seconds left on the game clock, about 12 on the shot clock, and I thought they were going to try to run the shot clock down a little bit farther. But my taste is, hey, I'm open. And I, you know, you could almost see in the look that Sabrina, as she passed it to her, shoot that. You know? And my taste is just nothing but net. And yeah, you're right. That's so appropriate. Well, Maite's put into this program, Audie Gilden as well, the other senior. I couldn't be happier for Maite. I've had a couple of conversations down here in Florida with her, and, you know, just how happy I am for her that she gets to finish her career this way here at the Final Four, and who knows? Maybe a couple of wins and take home the big trophy.
You know, one last thought. I mean, now we're under 24 hours away. Baylor, who they've been taking teams apart. I mean, they've won by 57-39. I mean, you know, the Ducks' next opponent. So what's been the word from the coaches and the players about, you know, this beast of a Bears team and kind of the types of challenges they're going to present?
Yeah, you got two post players as good and as big as they are. I mean, first Kalani Brown at 6'7", who probably a little bit more mobile than Tierra McCowan, maybe a little bit more skilled than McCowan, I think. And then Lauren Cox at 6'4", who, you know, is not Satu Sabaly, but she can step out and knock down an occasional three. Not a lot, but she's a little bit more mobile, and she's got a little bit of attitude. You watch her play. She's got some swagger about her that she'll let you know. Now, which one's going to guard Satu Sabaly or Aaron Boley? One of them's going to have to come out, and, you know, we all know that Satu at 6'4" and what she can do is a mismatch against anybody in the country. So, and maybe even the world. I don't know. She's just remarkable at 6'4". A 6'4" guard. I mean, what she can do is amazing. And then, you know, you want to come out and put 6'4" on 6'2" Aaron Boley? Well, that's fine. Then the floor is spread. You got one of the bigs out of the lane, and then let's go to work and, you know, pick and roll, see how they handle it. It's going to be interesting. I mean, there's so many options off that pick and roll offense that Coach Graves has put together that they just react. And then, of course, they have, as he calls Sabrina, the conductor of the whole thing. And she'll see it and go, okay, you're doing that. Here's what we're going to do. Watch this, and we'll see. But it's going to be their twos. Can they make enough twos inside with their bigs to defeat Oregon's threes? Oregon averages making 10 three-pointers a game. If Oregon does that, they're going to be a pretty tough out for anybody.
Well, it has been a joyous ride, and hopefully you got another 80 minutes of broadcast left in you. He's the voice of the program. He's Terry Johns. Terry, I know you got a lot going on. It's always great having a chance to catch up with you. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and I hope you're not on a plane until you're carrying a trophy on Monday.
I love it. That sounds great, Steve. By the way, we just came back from the awards banquet. Sabrina Ionescu, Wade Trophy, Player of the Year, Point Guard of the Year, and an All-American. But she'll get better.
You know, I was going to say, maybe someday she'll accomplish something we could be proud of.
She's something else, this whole team is. Hey, thanks for having me on, Steve, and go Ducks.